The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the Epic Podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Charles Stunning is here too.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Funhouse Studios in Astoria, Queens. This is the Epic Podcast, episode 25. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Charles Stunning.
I don't think Schaefer's mic is working.
No, he's not here again.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Wait, so are you really Schaefer the Dark Lord? Because apparently the both of you are not in the same room at the same time anymore. So is your alter ego Schaefer or is Charles Stunning your alter ego?
I can neither confirm nor deny either of those things. I do have to say, though, I like this persona a little better. It's the hair. Like,
well, yeah,
hair is fabulous.
You've got better bangs than Schaefer.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Because I have bangs. But you know what? If Schaefer, yeah. If Schaefer did have bangs, they'd probably be way more rappy than mine.
Yes, they would. They would be in rhyming couplets.
They would do some fast triplets like whoa.
Schaefer the Dark Lord is not here because he is gearing up for a 2-week tour, of which I have little information. I know that it's Mega Ran.
Yes.
And
Cool Z
and Word Burglar from Canada.
Okay.
I believe. And I don't know the name of the tour, but we'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, it's called the Fam Fiction Tour.
Oh yeah, that's right. And yeah. he's doing like an East Coast, like a Southern East Coast tour.
Running around. The tour is already in progress apparently, so they're like on the second chapter when she
He's going to join them mid-tour, as they say.
I do real good internet research.
Well, we figured, since Schaefer's not here and we haven't had a full podcast with the whole crew yet, we figured instead of not doing one this month, we would do a bit of a quickie podcast this month.
A microsode, as it were.
I don't think we're allowed to call them microsodes unless somebody's been paying for them.
I suppose
this is gonna be a shorter episode.
Mm-hmm.
because
who cares about what we do anymore? I mean, honestly,
pretty much.
Does magic. Yeah. I do burlesque and music,
right?
We
Schaefer
get it.
Raps.
Schaefer makes the rappity raps,
but
we're over it.
Right.
And I'm sure you are too, our faithful listener.
but a couple of things happened this week that I think are very, very important to talk about.
Yes.
The episode Gotham premiered this past Monday.
Yep.
Which we will talk about.
Yeah.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Premiered this Tuesday.
Yep.
Of which we will also talk about. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a spoiler-heavy podcast.
Spoiler alert.
We are going to be talking about both Gotham and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. in a very candid, non-censored way. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want any of it ruined, then maybe you want to pause this, go watch them, and then come back and hear our thoughts.
And then enjoy it with us because we're going to chat.
Yeah, we're going to chat a little bit about both those shows.
Yeah.
Starting now. All right, so
Monday night.
Gotham. I just want to start off by saying that I was in a complete media blackout for Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read any of the reviews.
Okay.
I didn't watch. They actually put out the first 22 minutes of the episode as a teaser for the entire episode.
They did
not watch that at all.
Okay.
And I basically kept
far away from any news whatsoever. Mm. I did end up learning stuff by accident. Like, yeah. I knew the actor who was playing Jim Gordon, obviously, and that the actor playing Harvey Bullock. Like, I knew the characters, but that's it. I didn't know what the plot was. I knew that it was going to at some point involve the death of Martha and Thomas Wayne. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, going right into it, as a diehard, unapologetic fan of Batman, that this was by far the most wonderful thing I have seen using Batman as a storytelling device. Mm-hmm. This is the most wonderful thing I've seen in a very long time.
I have to admit that when it was first announced that they were going to essentially be doing Batman without Batman, I was less than enthused.
What, you and the rest of the internet?
It's like,
yes.
Well, I mean, but Batman's going to be a little kid. And I was delightfully surprised by the first episode.
Oh, really?
I was clutching my heart.
Sure.
In the first 10 minutes.
Well, because the first 10 minutes, this show
just went for it.
Yeah, if I had any doubt about this, the level of seriousness they're going to take this kind of storytelling, mm-hmm. that all went away in the first 10 minutes, because the opening scene is the gruesome, bloody death of Martha and Thomas Wayne.
Yep. We don't
meet them. We don't get to learn anything about them. Nope. They're coming around the corner
from the theater,
and they are gunned the fuck down. And from that point on, it was a fucking roller coaster, mm-hmm. because then we meet a very young Jim Gordon,
who's sexy Jim Gordon.
Oh my God, he is a handsome man. He is a handsome man.
Badass.
I have always wanted a comic book that explored Gotham pre-Batman. Mm-hmm. And they've tried to do it a number of times with Gotham, with the GCPD and stuff. But it didn't have lasting power. The series always got canceled after a while. Mm-hmm. But I'm so happy to see this, because I think television is the perfect medium for that kind of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because in a comic book, there's no, like, you know, in a comic book that tells a story that's pre-Batman, there's no capes, there's no masks, there's no supervillains. You know what I mean? It's human stories, and it's hard to do that in a comic book with DC. You know what I mean? Like, independent comic books can do that really well. But when you talk about Jim Gordon and you don't have a Batman, it's hard to sell comic books. Mm-hmm. But in a TV show, it's wonderful.
It was really great.
I liked it a lot.
I think even at its weakest points in the trailer or in the pilot, where it does get a little pandering.
What would you say are the weakest moments for you?
Generally, when they're introducing so many villains in the first episode,
all these little
children who are like, oh, that's gonna be Poison Ivy. Oh, that's gonna be Catwoman. Oh, 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 there's the Penguin. You know, and I understand the reason to sort of get that out there.
Right, it's world building. They're building the world. Yeah,
this is what you're in for.
Yeah.
But I think that might have been one of the weaker points of the show.
That's interesting.
But it was really fun. But
yeah.
As a critic of television,
yeah.
versus a critic of comic books,
sure.
You know, it was a lot. You know, they could have just had like Fish Mooney and the Penguin, and like, you know, that'd have been great.
Yeah,
but I get that this pilot was designed to be like, look, we want to greenlight this show. We want to get it.
Yeah,
this is sort of the idea of what we're going with. So I think that like that was a good idea to get the show. They put
all of their ingredients in the pot.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
And I, you know what, that did not bother me at all. It's interesting. Like I guess I am their exact target market,
mm-hmm.
because I was not bothered by that at all.
Shut up. You would say when commercials started again. We watched this together, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
In our PJs.
In our PJs, yes.
Because we're roommates now.
Yes.
Side note, roommates. roommate.
Side note, we are roommates.
Hashtag roommate.
Yes.
Hashtag funhouse. Hashtag stuff.
And I don't know. I love the world of Gotham that's mm-hmm. that's pre-Batman. Because even when Batman is there, it's a pretty corrupt, nasty place, you yeah. know? But there's a lot of honest people trying to do really good work.
The Waynes,
right,
for example.
Exactly. And but pre-Batman, Gotham is corrupt on every fucking level.
The police force is corrupt.
Everything.
Level. We're pretty sure Richard Kind is the mayor.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Richard Kind is the mayor.
Yes.
What?
And corrupt. I love this world mm-hmm. a lot.
It's also beautiful to look at.
Yeah, and I think they're shooting mostly in New York. I've been on media blackout.
I'm pretty sure they have because a few of my friends yeah. are extras in it.
Well, I recognize a lot of the locations.
Yeah.
Actually, specifically in Astoria, I recognize a lot of the locations in Long Island City, not Astoria.
Oh,
but,
I didn't
but
recognize
Long Island
any
City.
Of that. I was too taken in. I was like, I was also like, oh, is Jonesy going to be in this episode?
Well, I mean, now that I watched the premiere episode, I'm going to go in and I'm going to start reading all those interviews and start reading all those articles now, mm-hmm. now that I have an experience of it.
Just want to come at it fresh.
Yeah.
And virginal.
I am so damn excited.
I know.
The whole pilot is about the Wayne murder. And it's about Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock, who they're partners.
Reluctant partners.
Very reluctant partners. In fact, he demands another partner. The captain absolutely refuses to give him another partner.
And Gordon is like, nope, you're stuck with me.
Right. And so they are tasked with the unenviable job of solving the Wayne murder. Mm-hmm. And because they are the Waynes and they are who they are in this city, they have to solve it quickly.
Yes.
And it's a bit of a rope-a-dope, because they think they have somebody, but they don't have somebody. But then Fish Mooney, the mob boss for a certain territory, who, first of all, I don't want to say Fish Mooney, hot
awesome
as fuck.
Sauce.
She is so fucking beautiful and so fucking dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
She's beating the shit out of that guy with that bat.
Oh, so
and
good.
She like adjusts her wig.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And so like, I mean, Fish Mooney's involved with planting evidence vis-a-vis the cops, and Internal Affairs is now investigating Bullock and Jim Gordon. Mm-hmm. And then they realize that it was all a frame up and they never caught the killer.
Nope.
But it's too late because they've
already
killed
him.
You know what I mean? And so it's a great detective story. It's a great noir story, actually.
It is very noir.
It's a very wonderfully paced noir story. I'm very excited to see.
I'm excited to see because I mean pilots are always one of the weaker points.
Pilots tend to be.
They're.
A lot of things will change from pilot to the second episode.
Mm-hmm. And because the pilot was created probably months to a year ago to like get out to execs.
Yeah, probably.
You know, so there's a lot of time that's elapsed, but. Also, like, shows always tend to get stronger after the pilot. So,
absolutely.
To already have such a strong foundation built in a pilot episode, I'm really excited to see where this will go from there when it's no longer an issue of we need to get the show greenlit.
Yeah.
Here's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm concerned that my deep cup knowledge of Batman will prevent me from enjoying what they're trying to do with mm-hmm. this world. Because that pilot episode had everything I loved.
Yeah.
And they tossed in things in there that only I would get. And I kind of really loved the writers for that. Going into the second episode, I wonder how much of that will stick. Like,
the
I wonder...
deep cuts.
Like, the deep cut stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there was shit... there was shit in there. Like, Sarah Jensen is the captain. Right. Mm-hmm. And in the comic book, you know, she's the woman that Jim Gordon has an affair with that his wife Barbara leaves him for. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Like, you know, Officer Montoya is there, you know, and we're talking like characters you would only know if you've read the comic books or you followed like, you know, Batman the Animated Series, you know, back mm-hmm. in the day. So I'm a little concerned that maybe my deep cut Batman knowledge will prevent me from accepting the world and story they're creating, rather than I'm trying to force my own knowledge of what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, because already on the internet, people were like, you know, oh, she's not called Poison. She's not called Pamela Isley. Her name's, you know, Ivy Pepper. And so for that reason alone, I'm not watching it. I'm like, fuck you. I never want to be that kind of fan. I never want to be like so nitpicky. Like, oh, well, you know what? Mr. Freeze, that tint of blue of Mr. Freeze is not the real Mr. Freeze. So this whole show's dead to me. If I ever say that, I swear to God, you're allowed to knock me the fuck unconscious.
I have that in the ether now. I have that for real. That is, I'm going to save this episode now.
You should. You should.
Don't say it anymore.
But I loved it.
Yeah, and I think as coming at it from an opposite direction of someone who is barely indoctrinated with Batman.
Sure.
With a very small knowledge of...
Right, whatever you absorb accidentally through pop culture.
Yeah, through pop culture and like growing up watching the cartoons. You know, I don't know any of this. There are two characters, the two detectives that aren't Bullock and Montoya.
Montoya and it starts with a D.
Something.
The internet's yelling at me right now.
Yeah, it's fine. We're drunk. It's cool. No one cares. No one's even listening. It's fine. But those two characters arrived, and Lugo and I had two very different reactions. He was like, "Oh my God, they're here!" And I was like, "I don't even know who they are, but they seem fun." Uppity, I don't know. I'll figure it out. It's fine. You know, I think that's really interesting to take a show that's going to have to handle like two very like separate factions, you know, the very indoctrinated and the completely
Well, it's actually my hope that it doesn't. I really, really don't. I mean, I love the fact that this episode pandered the fuck to me,
mm-hmm.
and I love that. I don't want that to be the case going forward. I really don't. Yeah. Like, otherwise, it's going to be mired in its own minutia, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just rather them, like, create stories and an overbranching narrative that's going to serve best. Like, mm-hmm. I don't need every little tiny detail of the Batman mythos. And
yeah.
I would be kind of upset if they did that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really hard to maintain that kind of balance of like deep cut, you know, lore mixed in with the modern story they're trying to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really excited to see where this Bruce Wayne, this young Bruce Wayne, how he develops over the course of this show.
I have to say.
Yeah.
Boy's already got a stellar brood going on.
Yeah,
he's so broody already.
They cast him for his brooding ability.
Broody
only.
As fuck.
I will say this though.
Super broody.
I'm used to a very sort of gentle, nurturing Alfred Pennyworth. This Alfred Pennyworth is a fucking hard ass.
So dope.
And I actually liked it.
I also like that it's Sean Pertwee.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor Who love there.
I think the first thing when Alfred comes to pick up Bruce from the crime scene, like he hugs him, like
mm-hmm.
he gives him that comfort,
yeah.
right? And then he's like, nope, step off, you know,
you gotta
stand tall because there are people looking and you have to put your chin up, you know, and they both walk away.
Yeah.
And
whenever Bruce is on the roof.
Oh, right. At some point, Bruce is trying to conquer his fear, so he's doing things.
He's like, he climbs on the top of the manor, and is like just standing up there, and Alfred comes out and just like,
oi!
Screams the fuck out of him. Just is like, get your bloody ass down here! It's amazing. I fell in love with Alfred Pennyworth in that moment.
You know
it makes so much sense, though.
It does make sense, because if Bruce Wayne is ultimately going to be making a transformation
from a little boy.
From spoiled rich kid to this sort of hardened hero of justice, you need like he doesn't need a paternal nurturer.
Mm-mm.
He needs someone who's going to hold him to a high standard, and a tough as nails British ex-marine butler is probably the perfect person to do that,
True.
You know, because when, you know, because ultimately I think because Alfred is now in charge of him, mm-hmm. he's probably going to think that this is the best thing that for him to get him over his grief. Mm-hmm. What he doesn't know is all of this is just training for him to be Batman, you know, and I don't know if the series will last that long, but I'd love to see the switch where Alfred says, oh, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
I can't, you know. Oswald Cobblepot.
Oh, yes.
The Penguin.
Ugh.
So good.
Creepy.
That I don't know that actor's name. But he's kind of come out of nowhere. He's had some bit roles in a couple of different things, but he's never had a major thing yet. And this mm-hmm. is like his first major role, and he fucking nails it. Nails it. That kind of like inner bullied weak kid who's yeah. trying really hard to not be the bullied weak kid anymore.
True.
And it's so good.
Yeah.
It's
also his exchange in the back of the police car.
Yeah.
Just where he's just smug.
Yes.
And ridiculous, and he's just like, just do my civic duty.
I mean, he's really. Like,
oh, and he did put sunglasses on. He did the deal with it, put sunglasses on, and then got out of the.
Well, he basically said that Danny DeVito's portrayal of the Penguin was a big inspiration for him. You know,
nice.
And I mean, not that he's trying to create the Danny DeVito character.
Yeah.
But there's definitely elements that Danny DeVito created that he's definitely inspired by. And he's completely unapologetic about it. And he's like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's exactly what I'm going
for. Yeah, because don't fix what isn't broken.
Right. And you get to see him be a part of like a really important crime family and then fall from that hard.
With a foot rub.
Yeah. Which was both kind of hot and scary.
Yeah, stuff moved.
What else?
Question.
Yes.
What is your opinion on the concept of the Waynes being a hired hit versus this crime just being a needless, pointless accident?
That story flip-flops depending on who the comic book writer is.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one of those things that's kind of been played around. So there isn't really a consensus in terms of like continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a census killing. Sometimes it's more than that. And you know what? I think in terms of what the show Gotham is trying to do, the fact that it was a hired hit makes more sense.
Okay.
The fact that it was staged to look like a robbery, but in actuality, they're being taken out, makes sense because the town is so corrupt and the Waynes were a force of good.
Yes.
That maybe they stumbled, maybe the Waynes accidentally or on purpose angered the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty excited to see where it goes because ultimately they didn't find the killer because the killer has always been named Joe Chill.
Yeah. And they found evidence on a character named Pepper, but that evidence turned out to be...
That was all planted.
Planted.
That was all planned by Fish Mooney and the police.
Remember, we said there were spoilers. I'm just reminding you, we're spoiling things here.
I really liked it a lot. I liked it. I knew I was going to like it because mm-hmm. I saw the trailer and I'm like, everything about this is fucking pulling all the right buttons in me.
Yeah.
But I liked it much more than I thought I was going to like it.
Yes,
and I already went in thinking I was going to like it.
Yeah. I liked it a lot and I didn't think I was going to like it.
So. I like the fact that
changing my mind, Gotham.
I like the fact that a very young Selina Kyle, very young Catwoman, is a like a homeless street urchin, but she actually witnesses the murder.
Yep.
So she's going to be very important to the story coming up very mm-hmm. soon, I'd imagine.
Yeah. She also didn't have any lines.
No.
Which was really fascinating.
No lines. She was basically, she's a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
And she's kind of everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
It's really cat-like.
Yeah.
Meow.
Almost as if on purpose. I thought maybe her wearing goggles on top of her head was a bit much.
Well,
you know,
again,
that I thought I was like, okay, come on, yeah, I get
and
it.
And the fact that little Ivy Pepper was always touching plants and
yeah,
maybe.
Well, I didn't. That didn't bother me so much.
I think it was a little pandering.
Well, yes, it was pandering. It didn't bother me so much. The goggles on baby Catwoman. Were like
kitten girl.
Oh, kitten girl.
Oh,
kitten girl.
Take a moment, kitten girl.
I thought the goggles were like, that's a little bit much, guys.
Yeah, well.
But beyond that, and that's I'm being very nitpicky.
Yeah, I'm
being very, very nitpicky.
It's a very strong pilot, a good sign for a very strong show.
Yes. Everybody
adventures for Jim Gordon and Co.
I thought the casting was fucking fantastic.
It was really great casting.
Harvey Bullock.
Ugh.
So good.
Yes.
So good. Jim Gordon.
So troubled and so earnest in his troubled.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wears
his problems on his sleeve.
And he's like, whatever.
You know.
I'm drinking at noon.
And it's like, I love the question mark of is he crooked? Is he not crooked?
Is he begrudgingly crooked?
Right.
Is he wholeheartedly crooked?
Right. I get that I can't tell if he's just a sketchy cop or a dirty cop.
Yeah. Which is good because
you know,
that's something they can play with throughout the series.
Right.
Something they can allude to. And
like a sketchy cop will bend the rules a lot to get the job done. But like a dirty cop will be on the take and will just do evil shit.
Yeah.
You know.
I like to believe that he is merely a sketchy cop based on the exchange between Jim and Bullock at the end of the episode when they have the penguin in their custody in the trunk. And he's very straightforward and he's like, you have to kill this man or everyone you love is also going to die and I have to kill you too. And I think he says...
But that makes him a dirty cop, though. If he goes through with it, that makes him a dirty cop.
If he goes through with...
killing Gordon.
Yeah. But he says that he'll do it, but he'll do it very begrudgingly.
He won't... I'll kill you, but I won't like it.
He won't enjoy it, but he'll do it. Which makes me think he's sort of being... He's being puppeteered against...
Oh, absolutely.
His will,
absolutely.
Which I think also...
Well, Carmine Falcone is the big bad of this show. He is going to be the main...
Baddie,
the main force of conflict for Gotham because he owns everything, you know, from crime to probably the mayor, I would imagine.
Yes.
But all in all, loved it.
Great show.
I'm going to watch it again and again. In fact, I may actually go back and watch the premiere again.
We'll put the Hulu link in the show notes.
We'll put the Hulu link. But nice little nod to Edward Nygma.
Yes.
I love the fact that he's actually a forensic.
That's going to be so crazy trippy.
He's a forensic investigator for the Gotham Police Department.
Which is crazy town. Also, do you think that comedian is going to turn out to be the Joker?
There was a moment where there was a stand-up comedian auditioning for Fish Mooney.
I like you. Hold on.
Yeah. I don't... Wait. I'm going to say that was just a wink and a nod. I don't think that's
Which
real.
Which I feel bad for that actor because he did a really good job. And I'm like, oh...
Well, he did a really good job at telling bad jokes.
Yes. And I liked it. And he was cute. And I was like, I'd put you in some Joker makeup and put your face on my face.
Damn. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be on record. I don't want the Joker in this.
Like at all?
At all. I do not want
him. Not even just like appearing as like this weird.
No, because in the Batman mythos, the Joker does not appear until Batman does.
So it's almost like
one creates the other.
The Joker is a symptom of the Batman.
Yes.
That makes sense.
If the Joker appears, or if there's a character whom they're always winking and nodding, this is going to be the Joker. He can't be much older than Bruce.
Right.
You know, he can't be. Otherwise, you know, Bruce is what? Maybe 13 in this show, 15?
I think they said he was 12.
He was 12. Okay.
For real.
So, if Bruce is 12 in this show, then Joker can't be more than like 15.
Yeah.
15 to 18. Like, he's a teenager. Mm-hmm. You know, probably still living at home. You know, like, I don't want the Joker.
I don't even want to think about the Joker living at home with parents.
I don't.
Like, I don't even want to. I don't want to contemplate that. I just want him to, like, have hatched out of a Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
And just, like, appeared. Like, no parents. Just,
exactly. And that's exactly.
Like
the
like
Joker.
Jack in the Box fell into some radioactive ooze and
the Joker doesn't need an origin story.
No, he needs to
He's better without an origin story.
Yeah, because if you humanize him, then it takes away the sheer insanity and the terror of like this.
He is pure chaos
type thing that just appears. That's like this X factor that no one saw coming.
Right. If Batman represents order, Joker is pure chaos.
Yeah.
And you can't ground a character in some kind of origin story just to make him pure chaos.
Yeah.
You know, I would be, well, I don't know how I react if they ended up making a Joker character. I would hope to think that they did it really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I actually don't want the Joker here at all. Because that's something that Batman fights. That's not something
that's
Bruce
something
Wayne
that
fights.
That appears because of the Batman.
You know, but that's it.
Okay, Gotham.
Go watch it. The Gotham for me gets 2 full pies.
We're not doing it like that.
Gotham for me gets a full pie.
Gotham for me gets 3 batarangs. I love saying the word batarang.
So let's talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yes. We're going to move into Marvel territory.
A little DC, a little
Marvel. It's a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
I'm going to say before we start that I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
and have loved it since the very first episode. I know there are a lot of haters out there who I don't know why, because maybe they don't like fun. Just hate Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They just go on and on and on about how a terrible, terrible show is. And like, it's like, first of all, # comic books. Fuck you. I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe some of the middle episodes felt a little fillery.
Yes. I will
go as far as that. But even the filler episodes still had a lot of heart
mm-hmm.
and a lot of, you know, they're worth
and also
watching.
With Whedon at the wheel, I mean.
Yeah.
You can't really. I'm not going to say that Whedon can do no wrong, but
he very rarely does wrong.
There hasn't really been a project he's been a part of that I haven't enjoyed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a couple of missteps, but I don't think he's had a real big flop.
No.
Premiere Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Thoughts?
To be honest, I binge-watched the
the last 8 episodes
because I was really far behind and I was like, I need to know what's happening. So I've actually had a day filled with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And
I loved it.
Oh, good.
I loved it. I mean, I loved watching those 8 episodes and getting really emotionally involved in these characters because I really wanted to do that. I just hadn't had time
sure.
in my life to be watching this show consistently. So it was really wonderful to fill my day with this and then like cap off the evening with more of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Yeah.
Especially since I had just finished
the season
cliffhanger. So I didn't have to wait that long, which is always the best for me because I'm super impatient. But they just, you said it best, they just dropped you right into the action.
Yeah, I really have to applaud them. I also liked the episode a lot. I liked it a lot.
A great show.
A really good show. It's really maturing
mm-hmm.
in its storytelling, and I really liked it a lot.
It's also really great how they've taken away the parameters of what the show was built on.
Yeah,
and
completely.
And are like rebuilding. Completely. They're like, no more S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, except
S.H.I.E.L.D. is dead.
Except now you are S.H.I.E.L.D.
You ragtag team of survivors.
Yes.
You're the S.H.I.E.L.D.
I love that there was almost no catch up.
Yeah, there was.
That's
like,
I really love
stuff
that.
Happened, we're in it now.
Right. They just like, you know, it's been, and they say it in the episode, like they've been on the run for about the winter, for about a couple mm-hmm. of months, like maybe, you know, 5 months.
Yes.
And so they've been underground for 5 months. And in that 5 months, they've been going out on missions and fact gathering missions and stings. Coulson's been traveling the world, meeting face to face with people he hopes are still loyal to S.H.I.E.L.D. and mm-hmm. to recruit them into the new S.H.I.E.L.D. And it doesn't really explain much more than that. Like, no, they've been busy working this whole time. And this is just another day where some extraordinary stuff happens.
Yes.
And we meet a new villain, either Crusher or the Absorbing Man.
His last name is Creel. And
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's the Absorbing Man.
Okay. But he picked up, I guess, here's where my Marvel knowledge, or lack thereof, mm-hmm. Because I know very little of Marvel. I'm just now becoming a Marvel fan, so I'm reading comic books, but I haven't really read a lot to really get some of the deep cut stuff.
Right.
And so, didn't Spider-Man have a villain?
Yes.
Where he had a big wrecking ball on a chain, and that person's different than the Absorbing Man, or is that the same person?
I can neither confirm nor deny that. I just know that Spider-Man fights a villain that can touch things and absorbs its properties.
Okay, all right.
Spider-Man beats him with wits.
Yes.
Gets him to absorb something that's easily defeatable.
Right, like hay.
Or wood.
Or a peanut.
Well, you are not a peanut. Which is a problem for half the population with allergies, but
I'll
eat you.
Even not knowing some of the deeper cut stuff, I loved this episode.
It was really stellar.
Well, because it's really dealing with the fact that they have no resources
mm-hmm.
whatsoever.
Yeah, it was very Firefly in that regard.
Yeah, like they're having to put together these missions and these stings and with very little to go on and mm-hmm. very little equipment, and they're hiring mercenaries.
Yeah,
which first of all, Lucy Lawless, great performance from Lucy Lawless in this episode.
So great.
It's just nice to see her on TV. I miss her presence on television and in film, and so I want to see more of it.
Well, you won't.
But well, I don't know. We don't know yet.
Oh, I guess we don't know yet. She's actually dead.
We don't know yet. Spoiler alert. People
is all spoilers.
People may or may not have died in this episode. We don't know yet.
We'll know in the next episode
who may have survived or who not.
I just really liked that we said spoiler alerts, because I'm just going to say all the spoilers.
All the spoilers.
It feels so naughty.
Sky has grown and matured. She's a bit of a badass now.
Yes, she's sort of like a
little mini May.
Following in the footsteps of Agent May.
Yes.
Even the scowl. She's even got the scowl going on.
Oh my God, you're right. She's developed a little bit of a May scowl.
Don't care.
Ward is now a prisoner at the playground, which is the new S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
Cray cray.
Yeah, kind of cray cray.
Cray cray.
But
I guess that happens when your mentor, who sort of Stockholm syndromed you to being a Hydra agent, gets blowed up.
Yeah.
And your girlfriend is like, I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah.
I don't like you, you dick.
There's still a whole lot of unanswered questions.
So many.
There's Fitz and Simmons. Oh. So basically Simmons has suffered some brain damage from the trauma he had from
being submerged, almost
drowned.
Yeah. Also the pressure from
combined is all kinds of stuff. He took on water.
So there's a lot of brain damage and
right.
trauma.
And so he's not as articulate. He forgets words. He spaces off.
Yeah.
And throughout the episode, Fitz is there, sort of rooting for him and being by his side
and finishing his sentences and
really being an emotional support and rock for him.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end, we realize she was never in the episode. She left during that winter time. and he's been hallucinating
that she's there.
That she's there. Which breaks my heart.
It's that kind of Whedon bullshit that gets me in the feelings I pretend I don't have.
It's you know, you're right. It is kind of classic Joss Whedon, isn't it? It's classic Joss Whedon.
He'll do more than just kill off your characters. He'll be like, they aren't even here. Their soul has been destroyed.
But I mean, she's still alive. She just no longer works for SHIELD.
No, she's just not actually.
So on top of him having post-traumatic stress syndrome,
accompanied
with some brain damage, he's now hallucinating his best friend and woman that he loves, and it's really telling, because Fitz in the hallucination keeps telling him that you're getting better every single day,
you're getting better every single day.
And Coulson at one point says, I just don't think he's going to get better at the very end. Because of this episode was pretty much a heist, you know.
Yes.
They got intel on some weapons that they need to get out of enemy hands, but at the same time, because they don't have any resources whatsoever, they basically infiltrated a government base to steal a Quinjet because they need the cloak technology.
Yes.
And because all this time, Simmons has been trying to figure out cloaking technology for their Blackbird, and just hasn't been able to do it yet. So they risked life and limb and possible and the lives of agents to steal a Quinjet, because Coulson has no trust in Simmons' ability to do what he has to do.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
But
Patton Oswalt!
What do you think? Do you think twin or clone?
I don't know.
I think clone.
You know what? To be honest, I don't think I care.
I think either. I want to know because I want to be right.
Well, I think either answer is equally ridiculous and equally awesome.
It's true.
You know,
I was playing catch up in the living room, and I yelled when I realized that Patton Oswalt's character, not necessarily the original character, but like that character.
Yes.
Is not dead.
Right.
Because I was really upset.
Right.
I was very upset. Spent most of today being upset at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then I was like, I am not so upset. And now I'm even more upset than ever because hallucinations and brain damage. And
I'm really excited because this is a S.H.I.E.L.D. that is not confident. This is a S.H.I.E.L.D. that isn't 100% capable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is there's a lot of question marks here.
Which I think is going to make a really nice companion piece to whenever they go back in time.
The Agent Carter series.
To the Carter series.
Yeah.
I think that's going, because that's sort of that same concept of
They're both beginning. They're
both the beginning of a protection agency for the world.
I think it's a wonderful parallel, and I think it's fantastic.
Go really well. Also, I made a discovery today while we were watching the
episode. Hold on. We don't know yet.
No. Well, I mean, they don't say it, but I have this theory.
You have a working theory, which I think is actually really beautiful.
Romantic working theory.
What's your working theory? Go.
Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. was founded by Stark and Carter.
Right. And I think a couple of other people.
And a few other people. And I think the reason that S.H.I.E.L.D. is called S.H.I.E.L.D. is because Peggy Carter was in love with Captain America, and she named the organization after the S.H.I.E.L.D. that he had, and Stark worked really hard to make that
that acronym fit.
And I felt so much beautiful romantic sorrow over that.
That's actually, if that turns out to be true, I will leap for joy.
If
it's never mentioned in any of the TV shows,
that
is now part of my headcanon.
Mm-hmm.
That is now headcanon for me.
I opened up your head with the head key and just plucked that in there. To me, it's real.
Well, because you actually made a really good point, because in the very first episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Ward is asked, do you know what SHIELD stands for?
And he says.
And he says, you know, strategic, blah, 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 blah. Homeland Defense. And he's, and then he says, you know, what is, then he's asked, well, what do you think that means? And he says.
I think somebody tried really hard to make the word say SHIELD.
Which I think is really wonderful.
Which I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
And sad.
Yeah.
I feel so much beauty and sadness today because of television. Thanks, Marvel.
So.
Thanks, Whedon. Feelings.
I love Coulson in the new role as director.
Yes. Don't look him in the eye. Just kidding. He's great.
He's a great guy. I think he's really being tested in the limits of what he's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see it. There's like a kind of a world weariness to him in this episode where he's been traveling and he's been meeting with people and he has to make hard decisions for the greater good.
Collecting blue dots.
Yeah. And you know, gathering information that Hydra is not finished. Hydra just went underground and is scattered. Is just as big as it was before.
Yep.
You know,
lots of red dots.
Lots of red dots on the map. But all in all, great episode.
Really great start to what is
really great start.
Probably
dark as hell. A very so dark episode. It's not a happy ending. Mm-mm. You know, even though they win and they end up getting,
they get the Quinjet.
Well, they get the Quinjet. They didn't get the other thing they got.
No, they didn't get
this alien artifact thing. Something. You know, like and a new bad, and a new big bad. This sort of like this German guy who won't die or something. Yeah,
who was present in 1945, but is present today and hasn't aged at all. So I don't know. Is that some like Winter Soldier
I don't
shit
know.
Happening?
I have
there?
No idea, but I'm excited.
We'll figure it out.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for
Yay!
Me gets three full pies with a scoop of ice cream.
For me, it gets four Quinjets.
Four Quinjets.
Four of them. With cloaking technology.
Ooh.
I don't know what are you gonna say.
And I think that's it, unless there's anything else you wanna add.
Do you like living in the funhouse, Lugo?
For listeners who don't know, I have recently moved from my apartment in Ridgewood for due to circumstances beyond my control. And I am now a roommate of Miss Charles Stummer in what we've now dubbed the Fun House.
The Fun House.
I like it. He said
Squinting.
Well, the thing is I've lived on my own for so long. I didn't know how I would adjust to living with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always kind of prided myself on being a bit of a sort of a introverted curmudgeon.
You really have.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I was kind of worried that I wouldn't take to it. But much to my own surprise, I really enjoy it here. And I've had almost no... I've needed no time to adapt. You know, I've kind of just kind of... I found my own groove pretty quickly here. And so... and then the thing is, it's also, I mean, where we live right now is very convenient.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's easier for me to get to. It's easier for me to get to places. Stuff that I kind of need on a daily basis, you know, like when I'm running errands, there's far more amenities and stores around mm-hmm. here for me to do that. You know, I don't have to travel a long time to get anything, you know. And also, there is a kick-ass shawarma truck right across the street that makes fucking delicious shawarma.
I really wanted that schwaffle again today. I was thinking about it. I was like, I want it. Also, bonus round, you live so close to your best friend now.
That's true. Well, I mean, I did at one point. I lived in Astoria.
Again, you're back.
And now I'm back. And now I'm one train stop away from my best friend in the whole world.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now if we could just get my best friend out of Ridgewood. Be perfect. Pulling the best friends out of Ridgewood. It's just stunning.
Astoria is the place to be.
It's pretty baller here.
Yeah, pretty baller.
Well, welcome home.
How let me ask you a question. How is it having me as a roommate?
Every moment is a living nightmare. Every single moment. No, seriously.
That story checks out because I scream in my. I have night terrors and I scream in my.
Well,
sleep.
It's probably because I keep hiding snakes in your bed. So
that would do it. Yep. Yeah.
No, you've been a dream, man. Like, I used to cower in my room all the time when I lived here with other roommates, and now I find myself coming out into the world more often to chat and to have coffee and play catch up with you. So yeah. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Roommates are the best mates.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. There's other kinds of mating that are definitely.
Ooh. And on that note.
I keep like the finger cue of like, just go for it. Just go into it. Just wrap it up.
Yes, here we go. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a lovely sort of mini epic podcast,
yes.
A very spoilery epic podcast.
Oh, so spoilery.
Stay tuned next month when we hope all three of us will be back in the studio.
With a guest.
With a guest.
Of some kind.
Of some kind. We have many guests in mind. We have fantastic shows lining up. But for now, this has been the Epic Podcast, episode 25. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I have been your other host, Charles Stunning.
Be safe, internets.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast.
We'd love to hear from you, our loyal listener. So send us your feedback, love mail, hate mail, dick pics, and recipes to epicpodcast@gmail.com. But seriously, don't send us dick pics.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Epic Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
I'm not kidding. I really want that shawarma.
You know what? Ever since I mentioned shawarma, I kind of want shawarma now. Like,
no,
that's all I want to eat. And it's appropriate because we're talking about Marvel stuff.
That's a Joss Whedon Marvel joke.
Yeah.
Thing.
I don't ever want to eat shawarma jokingly. I want to eat shawarma.
I want to eat it with a vengeance.
You know who I want to eat it with?
I think I know who you're thinking.
I want to eat shawarma with
C. Muldrow.
That's what I want to do.
Ooh. When you're back, C. Muldrow.
Here's what I want to do. I want each of us to hold a shawarma, and then we each push it into each other's faces.
Ooh. See, I kind of wanted you to do, like, the Slovaki stick, and, like, each of you, like, have one end. And, like,
aww, that's adorable.
And I'll be singing, this is the night, it's a beautiful night, and they call it Bella Shawarma.